probably know, the composer of the music we just heard, which was Johann Sebastian Bach, a great church musician. That's what he did and why he did it. He created what he created not for his glory or for the praise of men. He did it, and as he often would sign, SDG, Sola Deo Gratia, to the glory of God. Wonderful, wonderful Christian, and we are blessed by him. He was also a poet. He wrote an ode to coffee because he was a heavy coffee drinker. And then he wrote a wonderful poem because he was a pipe smoker. And the poem is called Edifying Thoughts of a Tobacco Smoker. And he even, as he ends it, he ends it by saying, "And as I travel over land or sea or abroad, I smoke my pipe and I worship God." Oh. Everything about Bach was about glorifying God. And everything about today is remembering those who have taken a stand for the truth. And to remind us as we look at this Reformation Sunday, you'll notice the color is red. The only two points in the church calendar that we use red is Pentecost Sunday and Reformation Day. And this is a day that we remember not just Martin Luther and his nailing 95 theses to the Wittenberg doors, the bulletin board, on October 31st, 1517, but we recognize all those women and men who have reminded us that the truth does not change. We stand on the truth, and the truth is that we are justified by faith alone. Not by any of our works, not by our behavior, not by our goodness, but by his grace. And so our hymns, which are going to be stellar today, and our the scripture, all is going to point to that. And we are going to be blessed because by the miracle of modern technology and other things, Herr Luther himself will be giving us a reformational lecture during the sermon time today, so it'll be a blessing. Look with me on the calendar. We have changed the date to Sunday, November the 13th is the day that you need to bring your boxes in. They're empty boxes on the back. If you still need boxes to fill, when you bring in your full boxes, you can place them down at the front or give them to Webb. But we are looking forward to getting that done. Webb, anything else on that?
We changed the dates because the volunteering of them looking through the boxes is the 14th through the 21st. So that's the reason we changed the date. But I think there's still 20 boxes back there. And whatever's not taken today, I'm going to see if I can maybe take them to work and see if they can get filled. I was really hoping we'd be able to fill all of them, but I understand there's a lot of people who have already taken four or five boxes. So, but that's the whole reason that we changed the date, so we could have them no later than Sunday, November 13th. And then I'll take them over to the center.
Can you estimate $15, $20 a box to fill it, something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
So if you can, take those boxes, and what a gift we have. We also put our dates coming up, several in December. We'll have our annual congregational meeting early. We have to have that to adopt the budget for the coming year and affirm our leadership. That'll be immediately after the service. Generally, our Christmas party is the Thursday right before Christmas. The board felt that was a little close to Christmas, so it'll be the 15th here at the church at 7 p.m. Just bring snacks to share, and we'll have a time together. And then our Christmas Eve service will be Christmas Eve, December the 24th. And you see that will be at 7 p.m. to afford, still being dark, but afford those that have a difficult time driving too late to be able to attend. Sherry and I went to the orientation meeting in Webstead since he had to work. And kids have made little doodads to put in boxes. They probably have an official name, but I don't even know what this is. But
It's a set of mittens.
Oh, it's mittens. Okay. So, if you would like some of these to put in your boxes, on the back table we have those, so you can feel free to take those. Any other announcements? Let's shift to prayer requests. Any prayer requests this morning that are not listed here or you would like to highlight? Yes, ma'am.
Y'all can keep my mom in prayer tomorrow. I'll take her to Charlottesville for
ECD treatment.
I'll be leaving
lunch
for about 6 in the morning.
That sounds good.
And just keep my sister Kim in prayer. She had surgery Friday. It was a long day for her, but she overdid it yesterday, and today she's not feeling very well.
Was yesterday her birthday?
Today's her birthday.
Today, okay. Let's keep Darby and Kim in our prayers. Any others? Yes, ma'am, Agnes.
My neighbor, Jamie Christie.
Jamie.
Hopefully recovering from surgery.
Okay. Yes, sir, Warren.
Yeah, we have four friends out of Idaho. Heather and Travis, they lost their 14-year-old son in a tragic car accident.
And the last name is Trappist?
Yeah. No, the parents are Heather and Travis.
Heather and Travis.
Yes,
and their son.
The son that died was Rylan.
That's so sad.
The truck and died on the spot.
We will keep, have let them know we're praying. Thank you. Yes, ma'am, Martha.
Nancy Turner was at the Adoptus Walk yesterday. I was glad to announce to the women that her liver is free of cancer.
Praise God.
But when they went to Texas, they found a mass in her neck. So that's the next thing she will be back. And so pray that that scan turns out and something can be done about that mass.
That's great. Well, let's continue to keep Nancy in our prayers. We did have the walk, Out of Darkness walk, yesterday, and I'm proud to say that it not only was the largest team effort this year, it's the largest team effort in the history of the 8 years of the Out of Darkness, and Martha's grandson, Jackson, his team did the largest contribution in the history of the Lynchburg Out of Darkness, and it was a sea of orange with all of their shirts, and very prominent on the shirt was John 8, and he is the light that shines out of darkness. So we want to give praise for that. Anyone else? Wayne.
My brother-in-law, Gordon Hall, in the hospital.
Okay.
He got a stone stuck in his duct going to his non-existent. He doesn't have a gallbladder, but he still got the duct going to his.
All right. We'll keep Gordon in our prayers. Thanks, buddy. All right, tomorrow. Thank you, buddy. Yes, sir, Webb.
Mona raised her hand, too, just so you know.
Okay.
I have a praise and two prayer requests. The praise is one of my oldest friends, and I don't mean by age, but Bubba Shipp is here with us in church today. I've known him since I was like 11 years old, so I'm happy he's here. Two prayer requests. One is, without going into detail, I'm going to keep Bubba in our prayers this week because he's got a real difficult week coming up, just life's obstacles. And then I want to keep Buck and my mom in prayer. Buck's dad, John Tucker, passed at 6:30 this morning. And Buck was up in Baltimore babysitting his grandkids. Now he's on his way back to Hampton to get a different set of clothes in his suitcase and go to Richmond and funeral plans and all that. So prayers for Buck and Mama and for safe travels.
He would have been quite an older man.
96. Yes, sir.
Well, let Buck and Chris know we're praying.
Yes, sir.
And Bubba said he'll be in the back corner of the narthex. If you want any good stories of Webb after the service, you can come.
$10.
$10. He can tell he's a friend of Webb. All right, Kathy.
Since you all went on the suicidal walk, I would like to share that I too have attempted to commit suicide. It's a rough place to be, but with the support and help, and it is what brought one tonight to your church.
And we look forward to, I'm sort of letting you in on a secret, one Sunday after the service, and I'll cut the sermon a little bit, but Kathy is going to give her testimony. And God has miraculously worked in her life. We are so grateful that in that attempt, you failed. But in our failure, His success shines forth. And the love that you and Werner have for each other and the love we have for you is part of this church. We're just grateful. And so celebrate your life and your strength to be able to share that. I'll say this anecdotally. Our church, largely through the efforts of Joan Palmer at the time, started the Out of Darkness Walk, and we were hoping that if we could just have 50 people the first time, we'd be lucky. We had, in the middle of a hurricane, 300 people that time, and it's grown to be above the thousands now. And it just speaks to the fact that it affects us all. It affects our family. And I've met very few people who, if they haven't seriously thought of suicide, they've often wondered, did it really matter? And the truth of the matter is, we are pro-life. And that's from the moment of conception to the day that we step into glory. We are all about life. Didn't Jesus say that in John 10? I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So it's all about celebrating life. And I admire those so much that it's touched. And I admire you in particular, Kathy. Anyone else like to share? Yes.
As always, my daughter-in-law, Helen.
Okay. Let's keep Helen in our prayers. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? Mona.
So my mother has Alzheimer's, which I know most of y'all know. So Daddy has begun to lose her, and I have a tracker that is charging as we speak, and tomorrow I'm going to try to teach Daddy how to use the tracker, because literally I was sitting on my porch, and here she comes with her biggest Bible and pocketbook heading on out Leesville to go out Leesville Road, and that's the fourth time this week. And he doesn't mean to, but he thinks that when he tells her something, that she knows it, but she just doesn't know. It's just, we don't know exactly what to do, because he says one day is perfect, and the next, my neighbor, thank goodness, she keeps a look out the window, and she'll see Mama walking away and go get her and call us up. But I mean, it could be awful.
Well, we certainly will keep Jim and Sue Henry in our prayers, and you too, Mona. Anyone that's dealt with any type of dementia, it's a frustrating and trying path. So we'll keep your dad and your mom in prayer. Also, speaking of parents, Craig Stevens texted me this morning and said they wouldn't be here because they had to take last night his mother, Jenny, to the hospital. She has an infection. So let's keep Jenny Stevens in our prayers. Anyone else? Okay, let's go to the... Oh, we see our world traveler, Andy Banky, is back with us. So he's been all over the globe and then some. So it's good to have both of you back with us. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, we come on this day knowing that the freedom that we have to assemble with boldness, clearly declaring what our intention is, and that is to lift you up as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our freedoms and gifts and privileges that we only have because there have been others before us willing to take a stand. We thank you for those who have always pointed us back. It's the old path. It's a tried and true. It's the ancient truth that never changes that we need to return to. It's your word and the simplicity of it. The power is not in the church or the church's structure or the church's administration. It's in your word. And your word clearly tells us that you love each and every one of us and have forgiven us all our sins. You've already done the work for our salvation. You have declared us forgiven in Christ. We simply need to say, you're right. We believe you. And thank you. So we thank you for all those who have gone before us. We celebrate them today. We pray that you will find our worship today to be acceptable in your sight. I pray that you will just continue to bless our congregation as we seek to proclaim Christ Jesus. We have these that have been mentioned today, and I bring them before you as we all together as one lift these individuals up. We pray that you'd be with Jamie Christie as she's recovering. We pray that you would be with Darby tomorrow in the procedure, and be with Kim as she's recovering. May even in the midst of the pain, she'd be able to have a wonderful birthday today. We pray that you would be with Helen, continue to put her cancer in remission. We thank you for the word that Nancy Turner has heard, that she was able to be here yesterday. And we pray that you'll continue to bless her. We pray that you would be with Gordon with his upcoming surgery, that it will go well. Bless Wayne and his family. We pray that you would be with Jenny as she is in the hospital. Bless her, be with Craig and Hazel. We pray that you'd be with Jim and Sue as they continue to do what they've done for many decades, and that is to be there for one another. We pray that you'll put a hedge of protection around Sue as her thinking is not as clear as it once was. May you just protect her from harm. Be with Jim and Mona and all the family as they have just extra grace from your spirit to deal with this. We pray that you'd be with those that have seen loss. We pray for Heather and Travis and just the tragedy of a 14-year-old. So young. I pray that you'll draw close to Heather and Travis. May they be surrounded with friends and family that will encourage them and give them support. For truly, like the lame man that was lowered down into the presence of your son by his four friends, we do rely upon others. And we just pray that you'll be there for them directly through your spirit and through others. We pray that you'd be with Buck and Chris as they travel and as they have the celebration of his dad's long life. Just continue to bless them. Lord, we thank you, and we're honored that as a church we can have a small part to play in this out of darkness walk. In our congregation, we have those that have been touched by those that were so overwhelmed that they took their lives. And we even are blessed by the strength and vulnerability of Kathy as she has shared. It's a blessing because all of us understand, and we just appreciate her strength in being vulnerable. And Lord, we're grateful that we are here for each other. I'm grateful that we're a church where we don't need to have a facade that all is going well. And we just thank you for that honesty that we can have with one another. And I thank you for the presence of Webb's friend Bubba today. Just meeting someone that's so important to Webb, so important to you. And I just pray that in this upcoming week that you'll be with Bubba and all that he needs to do. Give him wisdom, give him your strength. Give him your encouragement. And may we all be reminded in all that we do that truth does matter. And that when we say this reformational truth, that we are justified by faith alone, it's more than just a good doctrine. It's what gives us the ability at the end of the day to sleep well, knowing that our well-being in life and in eternity is not based on how well we do, but based on how perfectly you did. It gives us comfort. It gives us joy. And it gives us freedom to relish in this life that you've created for all of us. We thank you. May today be a day of joy as we celebrate your goodness and yours alone. And we ask all these things through the precious name of your Son, our Savior. Amen. If you'll look with me to the front of the bulletin, as always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Turn with me to that psalm that Luther loved so much. He called it his little Katie after his wife. It's short but powerful. And it is a psalm that he based the writing of our first hymn on. And after we call each to worship with Psalm 46, we'll stand and sing robustly hymn 656. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be toppled into the depths of the sea.
Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its tumult.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be overthrown. God shall help her at the break of day.
The nations make much ado, and the kingdoms are shaken. God has spoken, and the earth shall melt away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, look upon the works of the Lord. What awesome things he has done on earth.
It is he who makes war to cease in all the world. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Thank you.
The first reading is from Revelation, chapter 14, verses 6 through 7. I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Here ends the first reading.
Defend them against all enemies of your word, and bestow upon the church your saving peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has made us your children, and as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. Here ends the second reading.
Thanks be to God.
Today will actually be in three parts. The first part is going to be, I'm going to be out of character. And then when I go into character, I will let you know right at the moment that I do that, and then I will conclude out of character, and I'll tell you when I'm coming out of character, okay? So it'll be kind of three parts. It'll be a little bit more formal than my presentations in the past, okay? So I'm going to be out of character right now. Brothers and sisters, today is Reformation Sunday. In Christ, let us open with a prayer, a famous prayer from Martin Luther. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept us this night from all harm and danger, and we pray that you will keep us this day from sin and every evil. Let your holy angel be with us, that the evil foe may have no power over us. Amen. Here is Luther's story. On 31 October 1517, Martin Luther walked down Kollegienstrasse, also known as College Street, in Wittenberg, Germany. Departing the University of Wittenberg on the east side of town, Luther headed toward the castle church. His trip was about a mile long. Although the walk was short, it would prove to be one of the most significant walks in all of human history. Now I'm going to go into character here. In Luther's words, Guten Morgen, meine Damen und Herren, and the Gates. Good morning, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. How are you? Prima? I am Martinus Luther, carried with me a document that was destined to change the world. Intended as a scholarly debating point, my 95 theses would send shockwaves throughout Christendom. The primacy of the late medieval pope was being challenged. The long-held papal view of faith and good works, working in tandem for the salvation of souls, would be contested by a more spiritually based doctrine of justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake. Yet I did not discover, I merely rediscovered. I saw in loving God the Father the awesome power of the Holy Spirit and the salvific significance of Jesus Christ in the writings of St. Paul and indeed in all of Holy Scripture. Thanks be to the power of the Holy Spirit, God, the sole author of our salvation, as revealed in Holy Scripture, was presented to the world anew. Yet my theological view did not develop overnight. I long struggled with the issue of justification. I also once shared the widely held view of God in my day. I saw a God as an ever-vengeful deity standing ready to condemn people to everlasting hell. As I contemplated the inevitability of my fate, I sought refuge in the ascetic life of a monk. The life promised the spiritual purging of and good works I hoped would satisfy an angry God. Yet after years of monastic life, I felt no more spiritually secure than the day I first entered the Augustinian cloister in Erfurt. My spiritual struggle continued until I finally found spiritual comfort in Holy Scripture. In the Latin Vulgate of St. Jerome, I read in Romans 1:17, In fidem sicum scriptum est justus autem exafige vivet. As a native German speaker, I understood that passage immediately as Der Gerechte wird seines Glaubens leben, the just shall live by faith. I would later often describe that sudden epiphany as the very gates of heaven swung open. Tied directly to the profound revelation of faith was my further scriptural contemplation of Ephesians 2:8. There I read that even faith itself is a free gift from God, not something we earn or develop ourselves. I understood that one of my modern biographers, the late Ewald Ploss, once wrote, while Luther's recognition of the central doctrine of Scripture was instantaneous, the many implications of the great truth were fully appreciated by him only gradually. That is all true. My spiritual journey, therefore, maturated. as a parent and intellectual and spiritual legacy I have left behind. Indeed, a later, more spiritually mature Martin Luther would later write, "The doctrine of the gospel speaketh nothing of our works or the works of the law, but the inestimable mercy and love of God towards the most wretched and miserable sinners. Our most merciful Father, seeking us to be oppressed and overwhelmed with the course of law and to be holden under the same, that we could never be delivered from it by our own power, sent his only Son into the world and laid upon us or upon him all the sins of all. Thus for me, Jesus Christ was truly Ein feste Burg, almighty fortress, in line theologically with Psalm 46 and other scriptural passages such as this: Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Emmanuel, God is among us. Jesus Christ." Yet while my spiritual understanding was now fully aligned with Holy Scripture, it clearly was at variance with that of the late medieval papacy. By the high and late Middle Ages, and even into the Renaissance, the papacy had advanced a kind of penitential cycle. This cycle focused on the idea that human beings were guilty of committing various sins that could be identified and then atoned for separately. Moreover, the means of grace only partially satisfied the atonement process. Punishment, good works, indulgences, and purgatory made up for the rest. Sins were also thought to be either mortal or venial, meaning that they were either eternally damning, for which there was no hope, or little sins that required penance, the latter usually in the form of indulgences and ultimately spending time in purgatory. The churchgoer was also required to identify their specific sins, confess them, certainly ask for God's mercy, and perform certain works that made up for those sins. Thus, God's grace and mercy were understood as something initiated by human beings, and something earned, not given freely by holy and loving God. But in my development of the theology of the cross, I saw God as the sole author of salvation, including faith itself, and including also God as the sole author of the sanctification process that followed conversion. In the end, I rejected the medieval papal view that God's grace sprang from what we earn, in the face of a vengeful God who demands. In contrast, I saw a God who loves, forgives, and saves. Clinging to the entire corpus of Holy Scripture, I was also deeply moved by certain biblical passages, such as Romans 31, verses 20 through 22. It states, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. For by now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Thank you, good people of Lynchburg and the Well." And now I'm going to come out of character for a moment. So how does the life of the great reformer Martin Luther and his understanding of the Holy Scripture relate to us in the 21st century? Clearly, as with those who have preceded us in life, we live in a fallen world. Clearly, we too live in a world where many have never come to faith. Those who do not know our Lord and Savior need our prayers. As God outside of Jesus Christ is a God of wrath, as Luther also understood from Holy Scripture. Yet there is comfort and hope. Whereas we do not pray for the dead, we also acknowledge that the power of the Holy Spirit should never, ever be underestimated. Clearly, we are all sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. Clearly, our sinful tendencies are to dismiss our sins, especially the peccadilloes, the so-called little sins. Yet all sins are deadly. Clearly, we tend to think we can fix our sins and sinful natures through our good works. Yet this is a fool's game, as we are by nature sinful beings. Clearly, we tend to think that righteousness is a kind of scale of justice. As long as we do more good than bad, we please God. Clearly, we are driven by despair when we come to realize we cannot please an eternally holy God in any way whatsoever, and particularly through our own so-called good works. Yet, brothers and sisters, thanks to the power of the Holy Spirit, we understand Christ has done it all for us. And indeed, Christ has done it all for us. As John 19:30 reminds us, Jesus said, "It is finished. It has been perfected." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. As Luther often emphasized regarding that passage, in matters of salvation, there is nothing left for us to do. Period. Luther would also often write, "For sure, keep your good works out of heaven. But our neighbor is in dire need of them. We do this, good works, because we are moved by the Holy Spirit to help our neighbor, and out of gratitude for what Jesus Christ has done for us. And by the grace of God, we also are held captive to the Word of God, which gives us comfort, hope, strength, and peace." Finally, there may be a tendency to think of Reformation Sunday as all about Martin Luther. For sure, we have spoken much about the great reformer. We heard from Luther himself. But nothing could be further from the truth that this was all about Martin Luther. It was not. It was all about Jesus Christ. Amen. The real story today was all about a loving God who redeemed us with his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. It is finished. It has been perfected. So let us rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen.
We have heard the word spoken, and now we, as people of faith, and we see this in Scripture, we will stand and respond to our agreement using the words of the Nicene Creed. You probably don't have that memorized, so you'll find it in the flyleaf of the hymnal. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Constantinople Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered dead and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He is spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
If you join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And
and also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Storytelling God, you had too much love within your Trinity to keep it to yourself. And so you made a universe in which to bring forth the earth, and an earth in which to raise up a people, and a people in which to come among us in your Son, that we may know your purpose, never to expect to be with us in him forever. Through patriarchs and prophets, through women of courage and kings, through the redemption of failure and the transformation of faithlessness, you embodied your relentless will to abide with us in the death and resurrection of your Son and the sending of your Spirit. You turned your covenant with your people into an invitation to all the world. And so we thank and praise you with angels and archangels, singing your song of glory. Holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Inscribing God, in Jesus your word was made flesh. In your scripture, that flesh was made word. In your church and kingdom, that word is made flesh again. By the power of your Holy Spirit, bring your scriptural promises to fulfillment in your people gathered in your name today, that by that word and through that same Spirit, this bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave them thanks, distributed the bread, and said unto them, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the cup of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
Inspiring God, you give us your scriptures for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, and for building us up in service to you in your world. Open your children's hearts each time your church opens your word of life. Send your Spirit upon evangelists, teachers, preachers, and healers, that the wind and fire of Pentecost may thrill and transform your people today. Make your Son's disciples feel their hearts burning within them as you speak with them and they find their story in your story. Until the day you draw us into your book of life and we are gathered between the covers of your glory, ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, which created all things, that Word through the Spirit that declared this to be the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, also to you, like the centurion who knew in of himself he was unworthy, but he also knew if the eternal Word himself would simply speak the Word, we would be made holy. We are holy in Christ. Through his declaration, we are the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we come forth to receive that word, and I offer that word to you, that this is the Lord's table. So all you who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with sincerity and truth, are invited to come and to receive the eternal word, which was made flesh for us.
Thank you.
Your word has declared, and we have received, Christ Jesus, in whom we live and move and have our being, in whom we are new, your children, loved and protected and held in your gracious, nail-torn hands. We give you thanks for the veracity of your word, eternally sound. It's our security and our hope, and it's through whom we offer this prayer. Amen. When we started this church almost 12 years ago, the hymns were very similar to the ones identical today, for the most part. And one that we sang, we close with today, for it is the absolute truth, and if it is ever not true of this church, I will be the first one to close and lock the doors. For it need not exist if it's not about Jesus Christ and Him alone. So let us stand and sing together that the church's one foundation is whom? Jesus Christ, her Lord. Let us sing together. Many of you have supplied the names, and I have those. It's still not too late, but It is getting real close. So if you want someone included and a candle lit and their name remembered, please let me know by today. Our illustrious guest seems to have disappeared, but he left behind the one that, I have to say, I've seen some quick ordinations in my life, but just last week we recognized Dave Dietrich as being a layman, and he went from being a layman to the Protestant reformer in 1 week. And that's got to admire an overachiever. So make sure you let Dave know how wonderful it was. Thank you for being here today. Let us hear the benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.